Good morning, church. How y'all doing? Woo! So good to be with you. Here we are in a series, What Do I Believe, Even When I Don't Know What to Believe? What started out to be just a couple weeks series, we thought we'd like, hey, let's just teach 3 weeks everything we need to believe to be a Christian, and then call it that. And here, this is going to be turned out to be like 4 or 5 months. Because we've just been uncovering everything we really, really believe, and we've been having fun doing it as well. And today, you picked a right day to be here, because it's all about Jesus. Yeah, what do we believe about Jesus? See, most people, you ask them, even if they're not in church, and maybe you feel this way as well. Hey, what do you believe about Jesus? And most people say, hey, I really like Jesus, but I really don't like the church. Or I like Jesus, but I don't like pastors. Can you imagine that? Come on. I like Jesus, but I don't like everything it comes with. So there's a lot of people that believe, well, I just don't like this and I don't like that. But what do we really, really believe about Jesus in the Bible? And today we're going to uncover, what do you really, really believe about Jesus? And the problem is that there's a lot of different beliefs out there about Jesus. And let me just illustrate to you this way how easy it is to believe something. How many of you eat pizza? Yeah. How many of you have a favorite pizza place? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to yell out what you believe is the best pizza. I'm going to count to three, and you're going to yell out what you believe is the best pizza. You ready for that? Yeah. One, two, three. Rockaway. That's kind of how it sounds. Yeah, come on, somebody. Yeah. I heard a lot of different things in there, but everybody has their own belief, right? And everybody has, well, I like the sauce, or I like the cheese, I like the pepperoni, I like the toppings. I like something about that, right? Well, the problem is we do the same thing with Jesus. There's a part that we believe is the best, and we focus on that, but sometimes we throw out the rest. And today, what about the life of Jesus Christ? What about his life? Who he was? So here it is. We're going to launch from Matthew 16 in a very significant moment in the Apostle Peter's life. And here he has. Now Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Sounds like a pretty simple question. Jesus shows up. Hey, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, and some say the prophets. Have you ever noticed when it comes to Jesus, there's a lots of somesayers? There is a lot of somesayers out there. There's a some say of this and a some say of that. I don't know why they all sound Italian, but that's like, yeah, they have some say this and some say that. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? I believe personally this is a very, very significant moment in that the Apostle Peter was facing like a significant moment in time where no, not everybody else, but who do you say? And this is the question we want to answer today. Who do you say that Jesus is? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice he didn't say miracle worker. He didn't say healer. He didn't say restorer. He identified who Jesus was, not just what he did. And most of us identify Jesus according to what he does rather than to who he is. Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. That's what that means. He's the one that came to fulfill the first 2/3 of the Bible, the Old Testament. And Son, sharing the same nature and likeness of the Heavenly Father. And God, the creator and owner of all things. So this is a significant moment with Simon Peter here, that he's saying, hey, this is who, but belief is different. See, a lot of people believe a lot of different things. But what does it mean to believe? John 20, 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. These things are written. The whole gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John was written that you would know here. And here that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, this is where it gets good, that you will have life in his name. How many of y'all could use a little more life? Yep. Yeah, just having a little bit more life in your in you. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. So faith is conviction, confidence. It's a trust. It's persuaded. It's to be into. When I met Jesus Christ in a very real way, I got saved into something. Not only from hell, which is a pretty big deal, by the way, but I got saved into a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And it's exciting. Yeah. And what we believe is logical, reasonable, but still requires faith. See all the somesayers out there? Some say, oh, it's all about reason, logic, science. And some say it's all about blind faith. No, it's about both. Our reason and logic lead us to faith. See, people say you got to shut your mind off to be a Christian. Not true. It's when your mind becomes fully alive. It's when life becomes real. Come on. That's what being a follower is. But the problem is there's a difference between acknowledging and believing. There was in the mid-1800s, and I was not around at that time, just for the record. There was a tightrope walker, Charles Blondin, and he was the first one to walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls from the U.S. side to the Canada side and back. He did it actually several times on a 2-inch diameter cord. Now, how many of y'all, that sounds like a pretty crazy idea, right? Yeah. Well, he did this, and actually hundreds of thousands of people showed up the first time he did it. They came from all around, crowded as much as they could around there. And he walked from the U.S. side over to the Canadian side, and he said, how many of y'all believe that I could walk across here with a wheelbarrow? Well, he did that a couple times, actually, and he did actually a person on his back as well. How many of y'all would like to sign up for that? Yeah, come on. Yeah, and you think serving once a month stuff. Come on. Just a thought. And so he got to the other side, and he said, how many of y'all believe that I could push a wheelbarrow across here? Everyone said, yeah. He said, how many of you believe that I could put a person in and push them across with a wheelbarrow? And everybody said, yeah. And he says, okay, who wants to get into the wheelbarrow? Yeah. Nobody volunteered. See, there's one thing to acknowledge something can be done. It's another thing to actually believe it. When you believe it, you get into the wheelbarrow. The problem is, even sometimes we sit in church so long for years and years and decades that we lose the fact, we lose the essence of real, just true faith. Who is Jesus Christ? And do I really still have faith? Am I really still as persuaded as I once was? Am I still in that same wheelbarrow trusting Jesus to push me along? See, true faith, true belief is always personal, but it's not private. Everybody says, well, my faith's private. No, belief produces behavior. So the way you behave is based on your belief system. The way we believe determines the way we behave. And so when you have a belief system like that, it determines the way you behave. And it's not meant to be private. It's meant to be personal. It's meant to be lived out in community. Here's some statistics for you. 92% of Americans believe that Jesus was a real person. Most people don't have a problem with that. Hey, how many of y'all remember Christmas time? Yeah, I know it's June, far away from our minds. But yeah, you can argue, was it a donkey? Was it a cow? Was it a manger? Was it a stable? What time of year it was? But nobody ever disputes there's a baby in there. There's a baby born, fully God, in the incarnation of God. God embodied in flesh here. 52% of Americans believe that Jesus was sinless. See, but what does that do to our lives? See, I always ask the next question. If you believe this, what does it produce? Right. See, if what you believe about Jesus being sinless really does affect your behavior. 43% of Americans believe that Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. Can you believe that? That actually, this statistic's actually reflective even of people who go to church. They believe that Jesus, a great teacher, he was cool, but he wasn't God. 56% of Americans believe God accepts the worship of all religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they're all the same. Jesus really did communicate that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through him. Yeah, these are real true beliefs that we wrestle with, and how do they affect us in our everyday lives? Well, here is seven foundational beliefs that we must, that we have in Christianity. Seven. I'm not going to cover all seven today. Somebody say amen. I'm going to do number two here. Jesus was fully God and fully man, and he lived a sinless life. Now, these are basic tenets of the Christian faith. What is it that we really need to believe in order to be a follower of Jesus? That's what we're really wrestling with, right? So what is the significance? Fully God, fully man, and lived a sinless life. There's actually three others. And next week, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be covering number five next week, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of the resurrection is the only way to the Father. That's next week. So you got to come back for the rest of Jesus. That's part two. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Here we go. Jesus being fully God and fully man, living a sinless life. Yes, it was significant because he showed us the Father. Everybody say, show us the Father. Sympathizes with our weakness. Sacrifice for our sins. Those are the three things and why it's significant that sets us apart from other world religions. This is very, very significant here. Now, we're going to start in the Gospel of John. In John. John. Now, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, very systematically talk about all Jesus did and he preached. John is a little different. It does cover some things that Jesus did. Actually, a lot of what he covers in John is not found, actually, in the other Gospels. But really, the Gospel of John is all about the love of God. It's about who Jesus is, who Jesus was. So, like, I've always had just an affection for the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, if you ask me where everybody should start reading, it's the Gospel of John. You got to understand who Jesus is. And as soon as we understand the real Jesus, not the one that we think he is, as soon as we understand the real one, everything takes shape, everything takes form. As a matter of fact, when I met Jesus in a very, very real way, listen, 42 years ago, I just loved him, and I knew that he changed my life, and he rocked my whole entire world. As a matter of fact, every day I would get home from school, and I would read the Gospel of John. I would read the first three chapters. As a matter of fact, when I preached, well, I use the word preach loosely, when I preached my first message, all I knew was the first three chapters of John. If you ask me anything else outside of that, I was lost. But I knew that Jesus loved me and that you could be born again, and I knew what he did for me. And every day when I got home, I listened to this album, and it was I Exalt Thee. Yeah. Come on, every day I would get home. This album was out in 1978. Joseph Garlington, he's a pastor here in Pittsburgh. This is one of the albums, I think it was the only album I had at the time, and it was on one of those big CDs, you know, that you put and it went around, and you put a needle on it, and it went around, and it was a CD, I know. Yeah. I don't even think they had VHS at this time. I'm not sure. But I just exalted you. And every day I just worshiped him because he changed my life. Jesus Christ changed my life, and that's what I knew. And I want to go back to that love relationship with God. I want to go back to that enjoyment where I just love opening his word and I love worshiping. And I feel bad. Listen, I just want you to experience this invitation to know and to love God well. It's an invitation to what do we believe? See, many of us check out. We say, oh, this doctrine stuff. Oh, my goodness. Can't you preach a more sexy message? This is it, man. It don't get any deeper than this. It's all about Jesus. Come on. And he's pretty central in the story. So we got to figure this thing out. So he's fully God, showed us the Father. John chapter 1. Here it is. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word, logos, it's speech, it's words, it's the divine inspiration of who God is. Jesus was the word here. He's the logos. He existed where? In the Genesis 1:1, John 1, verse 2, the same. In the beginning was God. God created everything through Him being Jesus, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave what? The Word gave to everything that was created, and His life brought to, yeah, that's us. Yeah, pretty cool. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Two things Jesus does. Check this out. Now, listen. Two things most people fear. Most people. I know there's going to be several people who say, I don't fear those. Okay, you're just one of the exceptions. It's darkness and death. Most people fear those two things. Jesus conquered both of them. You don't got to be in the dark anymore, and you don't got to fear death anymore. I thought you'd be excited. No, really, I mean, think about it. I don't got to be afraid of the dark, because Jesus brought light, and it's a good light, right? And I don't have to fear death, because I got Jesus on my side now. This is a really, really big deal. This is what the Word is, and this is what the Word does. He came to be with us, but it's fully God. But most of us never really consider it. It's like, oh, what's the big deal? Yeah, He's fully God, whatever. Or He's not fully God. Do you know how many world religions and other religious thought processes, this is where they go wrong, in Jesus fully God, fully man? This is it. This is where they go south. The foundation of our belief system here. Light and life. Colossians 1:15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Okay, here it is. This is the big deal. Old Testament. Most people read the Old Testament. Yeah, first two-thirds of the Bible. All the Chronicles, the Judges, all the prophets, all the Isaiah stuff, all that. And they say, man, God seems kind of angry. He sounds like a really mean God. And then they read the New Testament, and they say, oh, God suddenly got nice. Not sure what happened, but all of a sudden, God got nice. No, Jesus came to reveal the Father's heart, and that it's one God expressed from the front to the back of the Bible. It's not two different gods. It's not two different plans. We needed God to come down from heaven to rescue us. I didn't need a new mindset. I needed to be rescued. See, if He's the Creator and He left all the privileges in heaven to come down for us, I needed rescued. You needed rescue. Have you noticed on the news? So many people, like whenever there's a rescue mission, people are stuck in a cave, a plane goes down, somebody's stranded. Have you ever noticed what great effort, and everybody stops and pays attention to the rescue effort? I think there's something in us that doesn't want to be alone, and there's something intrinsically in us that doesn't want mankind to be alone. If we feel that, how much more did God in heaven feel that? He wanted to rescue us, and so He had to send His Son to do it. This is a big deal. He's the Creator of all. He was on a rescue mission. God initiated the plan. Jesus accomplishes the plan, and the Holy Spirit applies the plan. Now, how many dads out there? Where's all my dads? Come on. If Father's Day, a couple weeks, choose wisely. Come on, you dads. Yeah, come on, dads. Come on, when somebody has an idea, when there's initiation of a plan in your house, the kids, somebody has a plan, there's two questions every real dad asks. What's required of me, and how much does this cost? I know some of you had a little flashback right there. Yeah, come on. And so the plan required something. It required God to come from heaven, and it was going to cost His only begotten Son's life. We're focused on that He left heaven, and He's living right now fully God. That's what it was going to require. And Jesus accomplished it by coming. He's a creator. Jesus is the creator. So what's the significance of being fully God? Pastor, you're like, oh my goodness, get to the point. Okay, here's the point. If Jesus being fully God, what's the significance? Because He's the creator. If he's not the creator, then you get to be the final authority. You see why most people don't like the whole he's fully God? Because if he's fully God, he has the final say, not you. And people want to be in control of their own destiny. They want to have the final say on what pizza is the best. But what is? Come on, like that's the belief system. Like, what do we really believe? He's fully God. He's the creator. Matter of fact, this will affect the way you give financially. When you give financially, it's because he's the creator, and he got a lot more where that came from. No, think, put it together. Our belief system creates our behavior, creates our response. When you see him as a creator, he created the whole universe. And I know you can come to two conclusions. Well, if he created the whole universe, he doesn't need my money. Or, why not give? He has so much. He's the creator. He has so much. There's more where that came from. Let's be joyful about this. Are you tracking? See, that's the significance of what we mean by this. He is Lord. He has the final say. Jesus was fully man. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Going to read a couple verses just so you can see it. So the Word, Jesus, became human. Now this literally means in the Old Testament, there was this thing called the tabernacle. And it's where the presence of God was. And it was in a tent, a literal tent. What this literally means is human, the presence of God, fully God, went and accompanied a tent, a physical being, the nature of man. So what he's saying here, fully God, fully man, two natures, the only world religion that has that. That's a big deal. And he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Oh, wait, it gets better. Now, if you're going to remember any verses we covered today, this next one, it's the one. Here we go, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Since then, we have a great high priest. A high priest is a mediator. Now, like the mediator, the go-between, between us and God. Jesus was that one final mediator. That got us to God. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Why? Jesus is the mediator. Let us hold fast, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This is a big deal. In the natural flesh that Jesus had, he now was tempted in every way that you and I were, but yet he was still without sin. This should bring us hope. There's hope for you and hope for me. And if you don't think there's any hope for you, just thank God there's hope for me. Come on, somebody. No, see, this is a big deal. This is a game changer. This is what happens to us here. That means, listen, if this is right, everything you go through, anger, bitterness, every addiction, drugs, alcohol, sex, every time you're tempted with adultery or fornication or tempted sexually in any way, anything you're going through, Jesus was tempted too and he didn't give into it. So we hold fast our confession, because if he was tempted and didn't give in yet lived a sinless life, I'm going to hold fast my confession. Do you sense this right now? See, this is a game changer. We don't have to live without access to God anymore. Let us with confidence draw to the throne of grace and find mercy and help in time of need. Jesus being fully man, living this way, this is what happens when you feel shame, guilt, problems, pain. Do you run to God or do you run away from him? It's all based on Jesus being fully God and fully man. We have a God who sympathizes with our weakness. I'm running to him, not away. Amen. See, we picture ourselves. We picture ourselves on this dirty, muddy, cold, rainy football field, called earth, and we're just trying to get a yard. We're trying to get ahead. Am I speaking to you today? I'm just trying to get ahead. I'm getting my head bashed in, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, and I'm just trying to get a yard. And we keep looking up into the press box, and there's God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Oh, they're warm and toasty. They got their press box. They got it all good. Oh, yeah, they're the owner of this whole deal. And every now and then, we all wonder, where's God? But what God did is He sent Jesus. And He sent Jesus down into the field, not just fully God, to say, come on, guys, you can make it. Come on, you can make it. You can make it. No, Jesus came out of the press box onto the field. He suited up like we are, and He comes into the field of play, and Jesus wants to help us run a play. See, He's with us. He's for us. He's not against us. This is what Him being fully man is like. He came down and He felt what you feel financially. He feels and He weeps. He feels the sorrow. He feels the tension. So the significance is this, that if Jesus is fully man, then we have a mediator. We have one who sympathizes with us. We have grace and mercy and help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about the mercy and grace of God. Come on. And most people check out when Jesus comes into their life and asks them to run a play they don't like. What happens when Jesus says, I want you to run this play and you don't like the play? That's when most people take all their stuff and they just go home. Rather than say, maybe Jesus has a better idea. Fully God, fully man, sinless life. He got this. That's the exciting thing. But we don't see it here. We don't experience it the way He lined us up to experience it. I just noticed my wife wrote me a little note here. Bet she wished she knew what it said. Okay, we don't have to try harder. Come on. We get to trust more. We get to trust more. Jesus, sinless. A sinless life. The sacrifice for you and me required a pure, sinless life. If He wasn't sinless, you get to decide how good you are to get to heaven. You don't need Jesus. You see how this affects our everyday life? There's an everyday life that all these things affect in us. Sinless. 1 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Fully God, fully man. The problem is sometimes our eyes get dim. I can't get this couple verses out of my heart, and Matthew chapter 6, 22. Your eyes are the windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with life. Have you ever noticed that the way you look at something determines what you see? If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a musty cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. Seeing Jesus fully God, fully man, seeing Jesus in who He really, really is and was, I'm telling you, it opens up a world to us. And I'm going to use this term. I can't get it out of my heart and my head. I've been thinking about this so much. It's just a wide-eyed wonder. Do you know what my prayer is for you today? Is that we're all going to go to a wide-eyed wonder. We're going to respond to the invitation to know and to love God. That's the invitation. So our whole worship team, because they just love to play so much, they're going to come back up. Hopefully they all didn't go home. I don't know. Whatever ones are still here, come on up. Yeah. Listen, you know what I really believe God's asking us to do is go back to the wide-eyed wonder. Go back to just the simplicity of God in this love relationship. He came for me. He made a way for me. There's boldness to go before the throne of grace. That we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't come in here as sinners hoping to become saints. We come in here because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the relationship we have, and we come as saints who occasionally do sin and mess up. Big difference! Yeah, so how are we going to respond? I don't know about you, I just want to respond again with wide-eyed, childlike faith and wonder. How many are with me? See, that's what I want. That's what I'm longing for. That's what I'm looking for. Isn't that what we're missing? We're missing life. We're missing that thing, just life. And I'm missing it because I get shame and doubt, and our heads are getting bashed in financially and relationally and fear and anxiety. When He's life, He's light. Let's run to Him. Are you ready to run to Him? Just, if you're ready to run to Him, just stand to your feet. Come on. Like, I don't even know what I'm running to. Let's just figure it out. Let's not try to figure it out. Some people are in the room right now. You're struggling with Jesus being fully God and fully man. There's really no one. I get that. I'm not saying just pretend like you don't. Bring all your doubts and all your fears and bring all that stuff to Him and watch what He's going to do. So here's the million-dollar question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say? Not who the some sayers, not the person next to you, to your left or your right, Pastor Rick or Pastor Nick, or your mama or grandmother or Aunt Betty or Susie or Uncle Frank. I can't change all them, but I'm here to talk to you today. Who do you say that He is? No, who do you say? Is He the only one, only way to the Father? Is He the only way? Is He the only one? In John 1, 13, here it is. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. You get to make a decision, either accept or reject. Both require a decision. Both require a decision. So those who accepted Him, yeah, He gave the right, who believed and accepted, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, man, but resulting from human passion or plan, from a birth that comes from God. I'm here today to offer you a birth that comes from God. So do you have a day, a moment, or a time where Jesus Christ and Him only became your relationship with God the Father, because He sympathized, because He's the mediator, because He's the only one? And then you surrendered your way to His way and said, you know what? I don't have it all figured out, but I'm going to spend the rest of my life figuring that out. So God, I pray over every person here today. I ask You, God, to move on hearts right now. Those to hear right now, they don't have a day. They don't have a moment. They don't have a relationship with You, God, but they're longing for life. Let them find life today, God. And if that's you today and you want life in Jesus' name, by Him being your forgiver and your leader, this is what I want you to do. Oh, it's so joyful. Oh, I just want you just to slip up your hand. Just say, yeah, that's me today. I got to have that today. Oh, you came to the right place at the right time with the right people. Anybody here today, you're saying, you know what? I want today to be my day. Anybody at all here today? Listen, there's a lot of ways you can respond. This is just one of them. But you're just saying, God, here I am. I need You. I love You. I want You to be the only way to heaven for me. Anybody like that right now? Go on once. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Just keep your hand up. Just keep your hand up. It's personal. It's personal with you and God. And if you raised up your hand, somebody's going to come up to you and they're going to offer to pray with you. They're going to do the praying. All you got to do is receive it. So let them pray for you and believe God that today is a new day. Come on, somebody. Now, we ain't done yet. I'm just praying right now God interrupts our day. How many of y'all know that God is not afraid to interrupt your day? Anybody? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to worship Jesus right now. For no other reason than I want to be restored to wide-eyed wonder. So we're going to open up the front, and I want you to come and flood the front right now. I just want you to flood. If you're saying, nah, that's good, that was a good acknowledgement that I want wide-eyed wonder, but now I'm asking, do you believe in it? If you believe in it, you get in the wheelbarrow and you get pushed up front right here. You get pushed up front. No, I mean like get out of your seat and you have to like walk. No, no, come on. I mean, you got to move up front. That's it. All right. That's how we need some men to respond. That's right. I want to see some men up front here. Come on. That's it. That's it. Come on. We're gonna worship Jesus. Now you're saying, I can stay in my seat and worship. Yeah, you can. But if I can't move you from there to here, I'll never move you in your life. I'll never move you in your world. What we're going to do is we're going to be filled with wide-eyed wonder. And I want you right now, come on, move up, move up, move up, move up. There's a lot of people. Move in, move in, move in, move in. I just want you to stretch your hands to heaven. Come on, we shouldn't be embarrassed. Come in, come in. We got all the space. I will not spit on you, I promise. Come on in, 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 come on in. Oh, we're going to return us, Lord God, the wide-eyed wonder, God. God, come on, let's just stretch out our hands to heaven. Lord God, I thank you, Father. I thank you right now that addictions are going to break right now in Jesus' name. I thank you right now that mindsets are changing right now. Transformation, shame, we'll have no place here in Jesus' name.